Ephesians chapter 6. We're in lesson 82, and we just got through talking about children, obey your parents, for this is right. And we're in verse 4, as, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, as we was talking about last week, we've been looking at some things that Paul, or last several lessons, if you've been following along, has to do with the family. And it's Christ, then man, then woman, and then it goes on throughout the family. And to be under authority of the parents, that's what the submission of the children are. The attitude of them and the authority of one honor, and not to rebel with bitterness towards the parents. Now, last lesson, we didn't have a lot of children in here, did we? You know, as far as, because all of us are like, "I don't have no children. Ed, you're talking about children." Now you're going to talk about fathers. Hey, you can be a grandfather. You can be an uncle. That type of thing. So you're always going to have children around you that you can influence. So the thing is, is God Almighty, the husband, the wife, and the children. And they are not to be bitter, not to feel bitter, but they'll be grateful and happy and confident in their parents. You know, we talk about the first thing a young child sees in their parents is a resemblance of who God is. You know, if you think about it, they haven't been taught who God the Creator is or the Lord Jesus Christ yet. So when they look at us, and when we're small, we may not have thought that, but it's true. So that being true, there's a counterbalance and responsibility placed on the parents to properly introduce their children and to prepare them under authorities as children. And that's what verse 4 is about. The father's responsibility is to see this authority is dealt with in a proper way. He is the head of the home, right? And is therefore his responsibility as a job to see that the home, the family, function properly. Well, you know what way it is today is the fact that many families are destroyed, aren't they? They don't have the mom and dad together. And they're going from family to family. Many of us know that. We've probably been there and done that. But the thing is he is to see that the children are in subjection and they are being dealt with a proper way. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That word provoke, you know what it means? You ever thought, what is it?
Discourage.
Anything else? It's to irritate, to make them mad and angry. That's what provoking is. Now, I know in times past, Israel had a provoking ministry to the Gentiles. Not to get them angry, but to provoke them to what? To become a Jew. To become a part of Israel. Now, things have changed there. Now, the Gentiles or the body of Christ has a provoking ministry to the Israelites, to the Jew, to provoke them to know that whose God is. Not to get them angry, but I guarantee you, if you know any dispensational truths and you walk up to somebody and ask somebody if they know anything about dispensational truths, you're going to provoke them to angry. They're going to get angry with you. I'm serious. You know, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I've been training a lot of people here lately. And we've been talking about some things. And I asked this guy, we used to talk about God. And he goes, "Well, I believe in God and God this, God us." And I, as my nature is, which God do you believe in? Which God are you talking about? And you know what his answer was? "I was raised Baptist." And I said, "I didn't ask you what denomination you was." I said, "You're doing exactly what most people are saying." So I'm talking about there's different gods out there. And if you know what happened in the garden, you had God the Creator, you had Satan, the God of this world, and he said, "You'll be like who? Gods." So there's many gods out there, and you know that they are because of the religious systems out there and who they worship. You know, there's thousands of them out there. And that human viewpoint, it brought in another viewpoint as being a god. So when I talked to him, he started understanding what I talked. So when I ask people, when people tell me I believe in God, that's the first thing I want to know. Which God do you believe in? And that may seem full. Oh, Ed, you know which God. No, I don't. Because there's a God of the Bible. And it's the big G, isn't it? It's God the Creator. We need to be straight-faced with that. So, not to be ugly with that guy. I didn't provoke him to anger, and he didn't jump out of my truck and all that stuff. But the thing is, I was wanting him to know, because if you don't know who God the Creator is, chances are you don't know who Jesus Christ is. Because they're one. And it says, don't make your kids mad and angry. Don't irritate them to what? Wrath.
Rebel
at you. And you need to remember there's two types of anger, and I've shared this many times before. We talked about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Provoke not your children to what? To wrath. You can be angry and sin not. Remember we talked about all that stuff, right? You can be angry, but you don't want to sin about it. He is saying don't put your children to the angry point that they'll be full of wrath. Don't provoke them to be angry with you. Remember what two types of anger was? Remember what it was?
Righteous.
No, two types of anger. You have internalized. There you go. Blow up and clam. You internalize, you clam up. You know, a lot of women do that, don't they? They clam up when they get mad at you because you didn't take the trash out. Or you didn't want to make the dishes. You know, that type of thing. And then there's internalized or ventilated, you blow up. And you can blow up or clam up, and you can explode or implode. But if you blow up, you are always hot-tempered and blowing off at your mouth. That's what you got to be careful about. And if it's strife and different things that comes out. If you clam up, you hold it inside, that bitterness and it brews and spitefulness, and then it that kind of thing comes out. So you got to watch that thing. Sometimes I get angry at situations, and the people I'm with, and the situation I get mad at, they think I'm getting mad at them. And I tell them, say, look, I'm going to get mad. I'm going to blow up here. So don't get mad at, I'm not getting mad at you. I'm getting mad at the situation. I get mad at religion. Okay? I get mad at preachers that trying to convince their little flock or their church members that what you're learning here is wrong. That you don't need to study your Bible. I'm going to study it for you. That type of thing. I get mad at that stuff. And I can get angry and sin not. I'm not going to go down there and, you know, put picket signs in the preacher's yards and all that stuff. I'm not going to do that. But if I come face to face with them, I'm going to ask them. I think a dear brother, one time when we went to listen to somebody, and he was, you know, he gave a message out, but he didn't share the gospel. So I went straight to him and asked him, what do you trust to get to heaven? And he says, you asking me? I said, yes, sir. I tend to ask people that don't give a invitation or at least acknowledge that there's some sinners out here. I assume that everybody is in here saved. Now, me knowing you, can I assume that everybody in here is saved? Now, listen to what I said. Me knowing you, can I assume that everybody's in here saved? But if there were some strangers in here today, can I assume that they're saved? So you have to be really careful to share that.
I don't agree with that. I mean, you're saying assume, which means you don't know. So I don't think you can assume any of us are saved, but I think you know us well enough that you know our testimony, you can say we're saved.
Okay, I'm getting corrected up here. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not doing it to be ugly.
No,
but let me ask you this. You know me, you assuming that you know me and my teaching habits, then you know that I could be wrong. Very seldom that I'm wrong, but we can acknowledge that, okay? But I'm just saying, based on your testimony, okay, I can assume that you are saved. Or I could say yes, based on your but who knows your heart?
God.
And who knows your actions better than God? Not me. You do. Ooh, I'm digging myself a hole here. But anyway, listen, but the thing is, here's what it is. When you go back to Ephesians 4, you don't have to yet. See how you deal with those things. How you blow up. We done do those lessons and stuff. But this thing, the father is not to provoke his children to what? Wrath. Your fathers have the responsibility to see that your children are not provoked or irritated to wrath. And now in the world, now I mean, how in the world do you do that? How do you not provoke your children to wrath? And you understand how it's accomplished by Romans chapter 4, verses 15. Go there right quick. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. The word wrath is the word that gives it away. Provoke not your children to what? Wrath is where we're at. And how do you provoke somebody to wrath is Romans 4:15. And it tells me how to produce wrath. The law, what does it say? The law what? Produces wrath, because the law works and produces an energized wrath. You point at the law, or law points at you, and you get angry at the law. And many people's getting angry at the law right now to the fact that they're killing law people. And you don't do that. He ain't the judge and jury. He's just somebody that says, hey, you did something wrong. Here's a ticket. Now you go in front of court and handle it. But the thing is, you look at Romans 5 and Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 4, he's talking about fathers not irritating their kids by putting them under a law principle. Okay? A law principle. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of who? The Lord. Is the Lord working under law today, or is he working under grace today? It's grace. Many of us have been brought up under law. I put my kids under law on certain things, and we'll be seeing this. You know, I was put under law on certain things. When you're under somebody's household, as young as they are, they need to be brought up under some principles, right? You just can't let them do whatever they want to. That's what's wrong with half the kids today. But you deal with your family under the principle of grace. Now, somebody that wants a desired office of a bishop, like myself, It says the local, as a leader in local assembly, one that ruleth his own house, having his children under subjection. Now, I don't have no children in my house no more. Are they under my subjection? They're under God's subjection, right? But when they was in my house, they was under my subjection. And you had to rule it well, because if you can't rule your own house, what you can't do? You can't rule the church. That'd be something to me up here. I've got kids scattered everywhere doing everything, and they're young and all that stuff. And me up here trying to teach you something, and they're out there doing whatever they want to. That's not good, is it? That's going against what the Word of God says. Because it says, if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And that put me under subjection to God when we had kids at house. And I'd tell my kids, I'd say, you know, you're just not being seen by me. You're being seen by the world and who you're running around with and all that stuff. You got to remember something. Children visualize God by watching their parents. We probably realize that now, don't we, Leon?
Yeah.
You know? That type of thing. And the issue here is having a relationship that you have with your children. And that relationship that child has with his parents, he visualizes God. And that's how God is manifested today, guys. He's manifested in us. And as he looks in us, people sees you. You may not have no kids at all, but you still begin to impact with other kids and how we conduct ourselves and stuff. And a child who can't visualize the concept of God in his mind yet, God makes tangible and real to his parents. The parent says, yes, you can do this. The parent says, no, you can't do this. And they're looking at you like, you're God. You're the only voice of authority that I'm listening to. So we as parents has to make conscious decisions, even as grandparents. You know, when we get our little grandbaby, their parents may say, hey, he can't eat this, and I don't want him doing this. You see grandparents obeying that? Usually they say, He comes back with chocolate all over his face, you know what I mean? And he comes back wearing, now he won't be wearing Ohio State stuff, but he comes back wearing, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers stuff, and his daddy's a Warrior fan, you know, that type of thing. Now, that's, you know, I'm just saying, we tend to break rules, even as a grandparent, and the same as a parent, you probably realize that, oh, it's grandma, it's granddaddy, that type of thing. But if you live under law, you set out an expectation, a performance system, indicating that the performance is what you expect and demand. You know, if you do this. And if you do not perform, I'll reject you, and I'll punish you, and I'll hold it against you, and I'll get you for it. And if you perform, I'll brag about you, and I accept you. And if you do that, you're teaching him that God is that way, don't you? You know what I'm talking about? And we've done that, haven't we, Sherry? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, we all have. You know, sometime I was the law giver and Sherry was the grace giver. Or I was the grace giver and then Sherry's law giver, that type of thing. And you know how kids would run and play daddy against mommy? You know, all that stuff. But yeah, there you go. You live by grace and teach your child that way. You're my son, and you're my daughter, and I love you. I accept you, and I'll always stand with you, by you. That's hard, isn't it? Knowing, you know, as a young, it's that way, because you love him so much, sometimes they get in your way, and you're like, if you do that anymore, I don't love you anymore. That type of thing. God don't do that. No. Under grace teaches us that. But I tell you what, I will not excuse your sin. See, that's the thing. You sin, you got consequences. But I want you to know that I love, I am the one that loves you, and I will face you. This is the grace motivation. And I'll face it with you, and I'll deal it with you, and I will accept it. There's many times our kids in their teenage years did some things that wasn't pleasing to the Lord or pleasing to us. And we took them, and they set them down, and they had to face it. They had to face the music. You know, and in doing so, that corrected their mind for a period of time. You know, now they're doing whatever they want to. But think about this. I'm always there as a parent to the young child. That's what grace is. That's what grace about. And you will teach that to them. And that's what the last half of Ephesians 6:4 is about. Now, children visualize the Lord God through the relationships they have with their parents, don't they? I think many of us know that now. You know, we've been in this message 25 years. And we learned some valuable lessons about being under grace versus being under law. And we taught our kids, we watched other people that was our teachers, and they had two more kids than we did, so therefore they felt that they could tell us how to raise kids, you know, and a guy maybe never changed a diaper in his life. But when you're young that way, you think about you want to be a model parent. And we putting our kids under, is it law or under grace? Well, you can be under grace, under God's program, and still put people under law. I think we know that as being part of religious systems, right? So it's a good principle there. Now, in Exodus 21, go to Exodus 21. Exodus. You know, it's easy for us parents to say, children, if you do that, the wrath of God's going to pour out on you. Is it not? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? You do that, I'm going to bust your bottom. You do that. I'm not saying that. We need to correct our people. I got corrected. I'll tell you, many times I went to school with a stripe across my back. Not knowing why. But I went strike across my back anyway. You know, I got in trouble a lot of times by what? Disobeying. You know, that type of thing. But Exodus 21, in times past, the parents were to reflect the law of God in Israel. Now, who out of all the nations of the world at that time, who had the law of God?
Israel.
Who had the oracles of God?
Israel.
Who was, out of all the nations, there was no other nations that had God. And you know what? They showed themselves to know that there was God. And people looked at them and said, God's with them. And it went throughout the whole world. People was terrified of that. So they had a law principle based around them, and God dealt with the nation Israel that way. Exodus 21:15 says, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be what? Surely put to what? Death. Surely put to death." Now imagine that now. And in other words, a child who disobeys and strikes his parents shall what? Should be surely put to death. It is a good thing that we don't live under that law principle today. You know, I grew up in the era, and you guys did too. There was some mean people I knew that had their parents in subjection and in fearful. And they did whatever they want to. And in times past, guess what had happened to them? You'd have took them to the elders, and what they would have done? They would have stoned them. God dealt with Israel's law principle and so forth. And go to 2 Kings chapter 2. There was a punishment for them that conducted does not measure up. And it was instant judgment at that time. 2 Kings.
Oh, 2 Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I might have said Corinth.
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
He didn't hear it.
I just don't hear very good.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I mumble. I really do. 2 Kings 2, verses 23 and 24. It's not about the parent and his child, but the way the children are to be treated under the law. And he, verse 23, and he went up from thence to Bethel. This is Elijah the prophet. And as he was going up by the way, they came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." They're talking to the prophet Elijah and a man of God, and they're mocking him. Mm-hmm. The children are. And those children did not hold that man of God in respect. Okay, you with me? Now, verse 24. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tarred 42 children of them. Man turned around, he looked at them, and he cursed them. And God set two bears out and killed 42 children right there. Now, that's judgment, ain't it? Why?
Rebellion.
Disobedient children. You know, doing elders like that. And the point is, disrespect under law brought judgment. And it did bring judgment. It did not bring judgment in every case, but this is because the law was executed in every case. It was required of the law. Now, if you know the five judgments of Israel, if you've ever heard of it, this is one of the judgments on Israel. You know, they're going to eat up 42 of them. What do you know about 42?
Okay. 42
weeks. Or 42, how many months? There you go.
Oh.
See, mid-trib. They're going to be eating up. So all this stuff is playing to Israel, saying you better get your life right. You know. You're under law here. Now, mind you, God was merciful to Israel. He said, "Let me take you let me lead you on wings, you know, on eagle wings. I'll feed you." No, no, we want kings. We want laws. We want judgment. God said, "Okay, you want it? You got it." And he gives it to them. But if a child sasses his mom and dad, there was things to do. And if they had a rebellious child, like in Exodus, they would not behave or do anything that it was told to do. They was wicked children and was supposed to not just be allowed that way. In times past, the parents reflected the law. Now, if you do that today, in some places, law comes after you, don't you? For discipline your own children. You know, that's what's wrong with society today. You know, and all that stuff. I'm not going to go there, but you know what I'm talking about. In the dispensation of grace, a parent is to reflect God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You bring them up with nurture. You're nurturing and nurture. And admonition is, what does admonition mean?
Well, that's
That's a mod. What is it?
Correction.
Are you warning? Correction warning. You want to warn them, you know, about some things that can happen to you. And that's of the Lord. You need to be understand that God nurtures and admonishes and teaches and warns people today and deals with them with your way family that way. Do not provoke them to wrath, guys. You don't deal with them under a law principle, but you deal with them in the grace principle, having your life reflection, the attitude, and thinking what God is doing. You know, now we got to be careful with this, don't we? Because some of you might be saying, well, you know, God lets me do anything I want to do nowadays, so I'm going to let my kids do whatever they want to do, and they'll be okay. That's not true, is it? See, I know people under grace, we abuse grace. I'm serious. Grace don't teach us to do certain things, but we do it anyway. And we know God the Father is merciful, and He loves me no matter what, and I'm saved and sealed and sanctified, but I ain't worried about the consequences. You're going to reap what you sow, guys. You know, and your salvation is secure, sealed. But what you do outside of that is going to reflect your position in the heavenly places. And if we're doing things that we think, well, God's not going to mind, you know, it's going to bother here. Or we might not feel it here, but God's saying, hey, my grace, I put you... And sometimes I feel I've done a bad job how I'm teaching grace to new people or been with you for a while and certain things. But anyway, because you know, say people say, well, I'm saved. Doesn't matter, but I'm saved. Well, yeah, but that don't give you a license to continue in sin. It really doesn't. And if you understand how grace operates and you practice it in your home, then when you get out in the wider context of life and you're not going to have such difficulty understanding how to apply doctrines of grace, then it details your life. Now, I'll share this about our kids. Our kids know this message this big, since it's big, this small. And they're grown adults now. Some of them married, got a grandchild. So they're doing their own thing. And some of the things they're doing is not reflecting God's grace. You know? And sometimes what they're doing is not, you know, it's just embarrassment. But you know what? You got to love them, don't you? You got to love, you know, you don't have to prove what they're doing, but you still love them. Because they're going to one day come back and say, Dad, you mentioned this before. You know? Or what does the scripture say about this? So Paul is saying, that you learn to operate under grace principle in your family, and if the father's responsibility to teach that to his children. Understand, in order to parent under grace, it is a tremendous amount of submission in your family. You got to have support from your wife. The wife's got to have support from the husband. The kids has got to have support. You know what I'm talking about? It's a family thing. That's one of the institutions God ordained. That's why we talked about free will, marriage, family, and natural human government to take care of this. And you understand the way to react as a parent to unpleasant circumstances and expectation is very important, isn't it? How many's been? Let me see if I can put this in under law performance. You say the following things, okay? And many of you might have said this. Many of you like might be appalled with what I'm going to share with you. Fear, okay? Remember the law of principle system is using fear to control people. I know religious system out there, they'll condemn you. And they'll feel, you know, you feel not worthy every Sunday just to get you to come up here and say, hey, we got 15 people recommitted their life to Jesus. That type of thing. It's a fear thing. And you're under law. Are you under law with a performance system saying the following things? Here is a blessing. Here is my praises. Here's my approval. Here's the reward out there. If you want it, then you need to perform to my expectation. Ball people do that. You know, football players, they had to be approved to their expectation. See if you can identify some of these things. Fear. If you do that, they're going to whack me. Rejection. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody accepts me. I can't talk to mom and dad. There's a wall, a barrier between us. Do you know what the barrier of communication between a parent and child comes from? It comes from legalism. If I put my kids under law all the time, they're not coming to me when they have an issue. Because they know they're going to get wrath no matter what. They go to mom. Mama has a big heart open up, or vice versa. You know, sometimes my kids probably felt they couldn't come and talk to me because dad is stern. That type of thing. The law rejects, but grace always accepts the person no matter what they do. That's tough, isn't it? Because they're not living up to my expectation. Why should I accept them? What do you think God Almighty would think about that? I praise God he don't think about that, because I know he looks down here and sees little Eddie running around here acting like a fool sometimes. You know, doing videos about his wife and all that, just joking. You know, singing happy birthday, crazy stuff. We can have fun, can't we? If I was under law, you probably done jerk my license out from under me. But anyway, look. The law rejects shame. I'm no good. I'm worthless. I'll kill myself. That tremendous psychological feeling of self and totally unworthiness and useless produce suicide. We know that's a lot going on right now. They don't feel worthy. Law makes you feel that way, guys. Being under law, being under a family, or being under a family that you're never no good. You're not my child, or whatever case may be. You know, just hateful things always constantly coming towards them. And they're like, no wonder they don't feel worthy. The only God they know at the time is you and I. Hostility. Well, I don't know who in the world he thinks he is. He isn't any better than I am. He does the same thing. You talk to kids about on drugs, what do they tell you? Chances are, when you talk to kids about gods, what do they tell you?
About what?
Oh, sorry. When you talk to kids about drugs, what do they usually tell you?
Everybody does.
You old fashioned?
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt you. It's been proven scientifically. No harm.
How about this? Mom and dads are on booze. You know, mom and dad, you know, who's doing the worst thing here? If mom and dad's on booze and their kids in the back there smoking marijuana in the back room, what's worse there?
They are lost.
Who's supposed to be an example? You know, I've heard that half my life. Well, everybody does it. You know, Uncle Joe did this. I remember the time, maybe I should say this, probably 10 years old, 11 years old. I come from a tobacco growing state, okay? Tobacco was king. And we used to take, you know what corn silk is? Mm-hmm. You know when corn silk would dry, the black tassel? And you can roll it up in a paper bag, big old cigar, and you light that thing, you're walking around.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm walking around that corner, and about that time, whap, the hand of my mom came across. She said, I don't want to ever see that in your face again. You know? So now if I said, well, Dad does it. You know,
she just smacked you again.
She just smacked again. Y'all know I told you I was, you know, doing snuff that time. And I loved snuff. I smoked cigarettes, dipped snuff. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Knowing it was shorting my life.
Yeah, you can get some real good mouth cancer.
Yeah, knowing it was going to shorten my life, I didn't care. It was good. And I 3 days I stopped going a cold turkey, and I started getting a shake. And I ran, I was driving the truck delivering potato chips, and this route man had a cigarette. I said, let me have one of those. And I took a hit of that cigarette, and it calmed me down like a fix. I'm like, whoa. And I went home with a pack of cigarettes. Sherry hates cigarette smoke. She can tolerate a lot of things, like I can tolerate her burnt cooking sometimes. But anyway, and I'm sitting, I'm at the kitchen window, burning them. Guess who was upstairs a couple days later doing the same thing?
Lorianne.
One of our children. you know?
Right out the
yeah.
window.
So you can't do that. So which is worse? See, we got to watch as parents in the example that we have. And mom and dad drinking and driving, is that worse than the son smoking and drinking? Both of them's bad. But if you're under the control of your parents' house, he can point what they do it. And what are you going to say? I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want to. What are they going to say? When I turn that age. See? Or they go out and do it anyway behind, you know, somebody else's barn or whatever.
If you tell them not to, they'll think you're a hypocrite, which they're right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all the time. Grace is the opposite, guys. Grace don't excuse sin. Period. Grace makes you accountable to sin. Ooh, that's scary, ain't it? I'm going to be held accountable? We don't like accountability. I watch people. I train people. You know, I'm training adult people. And they don't like accountability in that truck. And I'm looking at it and I'm going to say, see this pen and this piece of paper? I had to sign you off. This is holding you accountable. This is holding me accountable. And while you're in my tractor, I'm training you. I'm your authority. But after that, you're your own authority and you got to be who? Accountable to who?
Boss.
Your boss. You're accountable. See, that's important of a local church. You can sit at home and watch yourself on the internet, right? But how do you interact in a church? See, you got to be careful with that because we need local churches. We need to be held accountable. While you're being here today, we're holding each other accountable. You know that? You're holding me accountable. If I started teaching some strange doctrine right now, I hope you would, you know, not tire and feather me, but you'd say, hey, man, you know, what are you preaching? You know, and that type of thing. But grace is total acceptance. It always accepts you. You are my child and I love you. God gave you to me. You're mine. And I want you to know that you always accept it to me. That's hard, isn't it? Especially if they've done something wrong to your family. You know, I know what flesh can do. He's not my child no more. I wrote him off. Okay? When, you know, God divorced Israel? Do you know that? In times past? That probably was hard for him. You know, you're my only child. You know, you're my firstborn child. I brought you out of Egypt. I fed you. I watched you grow. I gave you things. And now you're out here whoring around with other religions. And you started marrying with these other religions. I don't want nothing to do with you. Then he brought him back. He brought him back in the fold. Think about that for a second. It was hard for him to accept that, didn't it? But God said, I'm not going to be like man.
But he showed his love, how much he loved him by doing that, as opposed to turning his head and not doing anything
about it. You know, you're talking about, I will stand with you whatever the circumstances. That's what a parent does, and you know, the type of thing. That will produce godly fear, by the way. You know what I'm talking about? Godly fear of sinning and a desire not to sin. I don't want to sin no more. And when you show grace, you're showing that, hey, you can do some things. And godly sorrow when you sin. They don't want to do the wrong thing any longer. And it produces godly confidence that they can produce out of it and the victory. Let me show you. When I had kids, there's a lot of things I did not do. There's a lot of things I wanted to do. But there's things I did not do because of the kids. It would reflect on them. Now, they might have learned some things, not in our home, but in other homes and other games and other things. You know, our youngest son joined the military. You know, never been away from home at any length of time. And down there in the barracks, in the trenches and stuff at boot camp, you know what I'm talking about? And away from home, and he gets assigned 5,000 miles away from... Then people started introducing him, you know, hey, come and hang out with us. And instead of him following or being friends with people, godly people, the world sucked him over here. You know? And I looked at him and said, I know where you're at, son. You know, I know where you're at. And sometimes I bring up them pictures of me 40 years ago, and they look at them and said, Dad, I didn't know you had that, and you did that. You know? And I'm like, I didn't ever want you to know that. And that's not what I'm bringing you up to do. I'm bringing you up to be godly, not ungodly. You know? But you got to be careful, because they can look at you and say, well, you didn't turn halfway bad. You know, I'm thankful I had another day, because those people that age are dead or in prison. So sin will catch up with you on it, whatever it is. But look, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Legalism versus grace is a matter of applying those things to your family. I believe you can have a good balance of that, because they need to know some principles. There's nothing wrong with having expectation or standards and mandates and probation. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having thou shalt and thou shalt not. There's nothing wrong with that. You have to have house rules, guys. You have to bring your kids up. Grace, on the other hand, teaches discipline. Discipline requires patience and long-suffering. It requires love and concern. It's not just the wrong but righted, but the conduct, how you do things right. You know, grace is long patience. You think about the time Paul was raised up on the road to Damascus until now. That's about 1970-some years or more. That's a long time for grace. You know that? Because usually it's wrath coming down. And you're living, and there are living in your family, and you're living in your assembly, and you're living in, before the world and before others. Where did I say to go?
2 Corinthians 13.
And grace allows you to have freedom to serve God, and they also have freedom to fail. And you recognize that is going on to be an instant kind of thing. And what I'm trying to share is, what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 13? Now I pray to God that ye do no what? Evil. That's a good verse. That's what a parent should be telling kids, right? That's what you guys should be telling me, and vice versa. It's okay to physically restrain a child. And a lot of times back there in the correction and warning stages, you had to... You put a hand on their shoulders and a hand on their back. I grew up that way. Now pray to God that you do no evil. That is a standard that we set. We have a standard and continue. Not that we should appear approved, but ye shall do what is what? Which is honest, that we be as...
No, we be not.
Be not as what? Retrobates. That is the problem with most parents today, guys. Parents want their kids to do what they want them to do and to make the parents look good. You ever notice that? How many times, I could probably say several times, that you dressed your kids up and you pulled up to Uncle So-and-so, or you went out to eat and you said, you do one thing wrong in here and make me look bad, you with me? Then I'm going to burn you up. I'm going to light you up like a Roman candle. You know, that type of thing. You know what I mean? I did many times going down the road, and the kids are just driving batty, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm looking at their mom, and her mom says, y'all need to behave back there now. You know, you're getting upset to daddy. And, you know, they're not even paying attention to her. And many times I went, and then hit my heads, and so, you know, went forward like, and then I adjust that mirror, and everyone's like, I said, you know, there's times when you have to do that, but what this is bad thing, because who don't want to get embarrassed in this situation?
Parents.
Now, you're raising your kids, And you're telling them, if you do that, I'm going to burn you up. I'm going to light you up. And they're looking at you like, okay, I understand. But they're kids, guys. They're kids. You and I was kids. And you know what? What is the problem there? Is the motivation behind that just keeping you from being embarrassed? Paul says, I don't want you to do what? Any evil. I want you to meet the standards. I want you to do the will of God. Not so that I appear approved, but I just want you to do what's right. You know? And what a blessing it is when they do. And why are they doing it? Why are you doing it, what you kids are doing? Are you submissive as they are? There's another thing in here I was going to share with you about, how many times have you been out? I ain't putting nobody on the spot. You've been out with your family and little Erica reaches over and knocks over the glass of iced tea. All over the table. How many times in the past you jump up and like, what did you just do? Come on, Erica. There's times I've done that. You know, because it happens in her food. You know, that type of thing, or in your food. And you're like, and you're at a restaurant. And you got to hold it together, really, you know. And you're like, but there's times now, even as an adult, when they do that, I'm like, okay, let's just clean it up. Sherry was a type of one that just cleaned it up, you know, just like they've never happened. That type of thing.
And kind of spilt milk.
Yeah. And you know, it's that type of thing. It's messed up and all that, but you know what? You can show them grace, can't you? Say, it's okay. You know, that type of thing. You know what the problem is? The problem is not the kid, guys. The problem is who? You. There you go. You're dealing with the situation under law and demanding an instant obedience. And my expectations aren't met, so I'm going to strike out wrath. You know, it's almost like we're under law. We give law just because we was brought up under law. We want to put our kids under law. You ever notice that? Man, my mom, she was strict, guys. She was strict to the point. Let me move on right quick, and we'll pick this up next week. But why when they spill milk, you can just say, look what a mess you made. You know, let's clean it up. You know, I know kids, my kids, that was a part of me. And I know I was a no good sinner. And they got a sin nature. And you teach them and you bring them up in the nature of the Lord. As young as them babies are back there, you can teach them who Lord Jesus Christ is. And they can see them in you. And they can want what you want. And they can be saved at that age, can't they, Benny? You know, that's a great thing to know, that you can be saved at a young age. And one question we often want to ask is why? We learned that a long time ago. We quit when our kids did something bad in the house or whatever, around the house. We quit saying, why did you do that? The answer was, they're kin to me. I know exactly. What did we start saying? What are we going to do about this? How are you going to deal with this the next time you hit your brother? Or, you know, you mark on the wall. Or, you know, that type of thing. Or you didn't mow the yard when I told you to mow. Well, what are you going to do about that? That puts the answer right here between your eyes. And they say, I'm going to do what I'm told. I'll take the trash out when I'm supposed to take it out. And, you know, that's a good thing, isn't it? And you don't ask that. You say, what are we going to do about it? And you teach the child to face and deal with his problems to the detail of life. And don't provoke him to wrath, but bring him up in nurture of the Lord. And that verb, bringing them up, is the goal of a successful parenting. And I know ours is long gone, you know. And there's times I keep beating myself up. Why didn't I do this with my child? Or why didn't I teach this with my child? You know, that type of thing. So when you do that, you got a chance to bring them up in the stages of developing the consequences. And that brings them into adulthood. And we'll get to Galatians chapter 4 next week. When your children gets an age, you're going to have a Galatians chapter 4 talk with them that they're no longer under schoolmasters. You know, they're no longer under your authority, but they're under God's authority. And that's a great day, by the way, when you can sit there and say, you're a man. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray.